Hello everyone, welcome back to a new episode of the Sensory Podcast. Today, we are going to do something a little bit unusual. We are going to brew iced coffee. I know it's not something I brew a lot and I drink a lot, but as it's getting hotter in our roastery, while working, roasting, or cupping, a refreshing drink is always something good to have, especially during summer times. So I'm going to go through the different options that you have in order to enjoy fresh iced cold brew coffee, and I will also go through the recipe that we are using for our coffee to really enjoy refreshing coffee, refreshing drink, but still not lose the identity of the coffee and all the sensory profile of your favorite cup of coffee. So there's even ways of making iced coffee. In the past, we had a flash brew coffee, right? A snap chilled coffee that used to basically brew coffee warm and at a very kind of in a very fast fashion, chill down the coffee and can it individually. This was quite convenient. However, it's quite expensive and very intensive in terms of machineries, investments, and the shelf life. So it's convenient on a taste wise, but not on the long run. And here I'm going to give also the pros and cons of each of those methods. It works really, really well, especially if you have if you go on the go, but it's still a quite pricey investments for single can, costing around $4, $5, sometimes $6. The second option is the cold brew. On the cold brew, the Kyoto style cold brew, you have you basically dripping cold iced coffee, iced water over sorry, ice or iced water over ground coffee for 8 to 12 hours. This produces a lot of oxidation, which is not good for the flavor. But it's something like the pros of that technique is just to set it up and just leave it. And it will be done the next day. The cons is obviously that it takes more time, but it's also lose some flavors. The big bucket of cold brew is kind of the same issue. It's very easy to do. You grind super coarse. You put it in those buckets with room temperature water, and then you leave it on chilled or cold environment, and then you serve it after X amount of steeping, usually 6, sometimes 8, 10, 12 hours, 24 hours, depending on the coffee, the methods, and the extraction. And then you serve it over ice. Same sort of issues. A very long steeping process tend to extract, you know, well, of course, but sometimes over extract the coffee and produce such a little bit of dull flavors for the coffee. The origin of the coffee, the really unique aspect of each coffee is often lost when we are using a slightly longer steeping time. It's very sort of sweet and round, and that's why more and more kind of steeping process tends to go through a steeping of 5, 6, 7 minutes, if you have seen the chocolate or the Delta press or the modified AeroPress using a slightly longer immersion time, it really produces a round cup of coffee, but you are always sacrificing something, and you're sacrificing a little bit more complexity, clarity, and the uniqueness of each coffee. For those single hot brew of 6 to 10 minutes of steeping, it's okay. But when you do hours of steeping, then you are really sort of losing the intrinsic flavors, intrinsic qualities of each coffee. And the last option, there's two more options. One is to brew it hot and then to chill it, which is something I used to do a lot. And it's still one of my favorite recipes, to just brew it hot and then chill it over ice with a kind of a glass, and then you can add a little bit of sugar to raise the notes a little bit, but it needs kind of a lot of ice to do it, and it's something you do when you sort of batch make a cold brew recipe. So here I really wanted to find a sort of single pour, single way of making coffee for one or two or two people basically. Because the chilled recipe is excellent for the taste. It's my also suggestion is to really to brew it hot and then chill it. However, it requires you to brew a little bit more if you don't want to waste too much ice. And the last method is the call it the Japanese style, where you use half of the water as iced, and then you brew your coffee the same way you brew normally, with half brewed hot, and it's a pour over ice. And in this method, there's pros and cons. The advantage here is that you can really make several pour overs, and you can make smaller quantities, which is what I was looking for when making a cold brew. I just wanted one cup or maybe two cups. I didn't want to make a huge pot that I drink over a week or over 2 or 3 days, because we all know that it won't taste good if you leave cold brew even for more than 24 hours. So I just wanted to make a cold brew or iced coffee that I can enjoy on the moment. And in the Japanese style, they use a 50-50 ratio. And when I try that, I had a kind of okay result, meaning that it was very convenient, number one, easy to brew, number two, but flavor-wise, it wasn't as satisfying as the chilled recipe where you make it hot and then you chill it. So in order to have something very similar, what I've done is instead of using a 50-50 ratio between ice and water, I use a 70-30 ratio. And then I added about 15% at the end. Let me explain you right now. So a little bit of mathematics, but it's going to be very easy. So I'm using a 1 to 16 ratio, and for each coffee is a little bit different. So each of my coffee, you see that on our website, we have different sort of suggested ratios, and I don't change anything. I use exactly the same as the hot brew recipe. So here, I'm using a 1 to 16 ratio with our Ecuadorian coffee, our Típica Golden Honey from Pilcocajá. And what I'm going to use, I'm going to use 15 grams of coffee, medium ground. Here's something very similar to the hot coffee recipe, just a tad finer, just one or two setting finer. For example, usually for that recipe, I'm using on my Comandante about 27 clicks, but here I'm using 25 clicks. On the Baratza, instead of using 18 or 19 on the setting, I am using 16, 17. On if you want more like microns on the Ditink, for example, instead of using a 700 or 750, I may use 650 or 700. So just one tad smaller, and every grinder will produce different kind of fines, so you have to kind of know your grinder and adapt the recipe based on that. Then what I'm gonna put is 30% of my total water. So if you do 15 times 16, it's about 240 grams of water. So if we were to brew this coffee hot, we will use 15 grams of coffee with 240 grams of water. Instead of using 240 grams of water, I'm first going to put about 70 grams as iced. Let me take this iced live. And here it's important to make you ice yourself. That's the only sort of cons of this method, is make sure that you make your ice with good water, ideally the same water as the one you are brewing with. And try to be precise. 70 grams, it's okay if you use 75, but 80 is a little bit too much, for example. So plus minus 5 grams, it's all right. Now I'm at 68, but I want a little bit more. Here we go, we are 75 here instead of 72. And then I'm placing my my pour-over tool here. I'm using a Kalita Wave. It's a flat bottom brewer. It will work as well with a V60. And you also sort of wet the filter before, as usual, on another vessel, of course. Don't do it on the carafe or the cup that you are going to use where you put your glass. So here I have 70 grams on my carafe, and I'm going to pour 240 minus 70, which is 170 grams of water. And here it's going to be quite simple. I'll do usually three pours. The first, once again, a classic bloom using 60 grams of water. I like this 1-to-4 ratio on coffee and water for the bloom. So I'm pouring my 60 grams. And then I'm gonna pour another 60 grams and I'm gonna complete it until 170. And I usually here do just a 30 seconds bloom. So after about 30 seconds, I pour another 60, so the same amount. The technique is often that I use during my class of the second bloom to assess how the coffee drips and how if you need to break the pour further or just do one more pour. And here, because remember, we ground slightly finer, it's slowly dripping. So then we're just going to add another pour at about 1 minute and 5 seconds ish. About 1 minute and 5 seconds, we slowly pouring our remaining water until we hit 170. Every time, of course, you need to kind of tear, right? So first you add your ice, you 70, 75 grams of ice, you tear, you put your Kalita, your brewer, you put your water, your coffee, you tear again, and then we pour the 170. I say that because I just forget it last time when I was recording this podcast. It happens. And it should take, once again, it's interesting. It will take about 30 to 40% less than if it was hot. So usually we finish this recipe in 2 minutes and 45 or 2 minutes, yeah, about 2 minutes 45, 2 minutes 30. And so here it should end around 2 minutes to 2 minutes 15-ish. And here we are done at 2 minutes 10. So even a little bit faster. And here what happened is that we have sort of iced coffee, but it's kind of not too iced here. So what you're going to do, and that's here, that's the trick, because the hot water diluted the ice, and because we don't use a 50% ice, we have more hot stuff that melted the coffee, that melted the ice, sorry, not the coffee. The coffee melted the ice. So I'm going to add 35 grams to 40 grams of ice, basically half of the ice. Remember, we used 70 grams, so if you use about 35 grams of ice, and it will really sort of chill it down quicker without melting it too much, because we use hot water to brew it. So here I have about 38 grams, which is good, and then I can pour my coffee with my ice. So here you have a coffee that really holds the taste of the coffee that you brewed. And because you add a fresh sort of fresh ice cube at the end, you have this refreshing aspect while maintaining the taste. Because remember, the taste has been made, has been extracted hot. Once again, it's in all my sort of iced cold recipes, it's always the same thing. You need heat to extract sweetness, to extract good stuff out of your coffee. So that's why here, that's the best way to find the balance between having a refreshing beverage and not losing the character of the coffee. And here you can really taste for this coffee in particular, all the floral sort of sugarcane, citrus fruits, and some sweet spices. So it's a very fresh cup of coffee. Little caveat is on your ice cube. Try to make it your own by using trays and the same water that you're using or something clean. It doesn't need to be exactly like if you made if you make your water like me, for example, you don't want to use it for your ice cube, that's totally fine, but try to use something filtered at least, not super, super hard. Often the ice cube made by, directly made by fridge and freezers are not super, super good unless you have or you replace the filter quite often. And why to make it yourself is because if you have a bigger ice cube, that would be slightly better to preserve the freshness without melting the ice cube and diluting the coffee too much. That way you can really enjoy a fresh cup of coffee and still have the taste of the coffee as it will be if it was hot. So that's about it for our iced coffee recipe. We will really use a coffee recipe more so than ever. Once again, it's really about brewing it hot and chill it down. And here we do it with a different concentration. Instead of using a 50-50 ratio between ice and water and hot water, we're using a 70-30 ratio. So we have more stuff to extract, more goodness to extract hot, and then chill it by adding a little bit more ice towards the end, not towards the dilution that happens while you brew the coffee. Thank you very much, and see you next time for another recipe on Brewer Bentley and the Sensory Podcast.